Okay, hi. Hey, Cheryl, did you notice I was in the room for almost your whole teaching? That's like never happened before. I was so happy. I was coming down to my computer anyway to do a little bit of bill paying, and I thought, oh, Cheryl's on now. I can listen to her. And I was happy that I remembered. Let's see. So, hi everyone. Happy Sunday, July 1, 2012. And I'm excited to be here because I love teaching the seven steps. I was telling Danielle, I was saying that one of my favorite things, along with hiking and floating down rivers on inner tubes and going to Israel and going to India, is teaching the seven steps. And not everyone understands teaching. I think that most of the people who teach understand, or at least the people that I know who teach understand. But lots of people don't understand teaching. I saw a comment just today on Facebook, something about teaching, and sometimes people think that when we teach, it's because we think we know more than others, right? And so we come in here to tell you what we know. And if that's true, I don't think I'd love it so much. I don't think that coming in here and telling you what I know would invoke this love that I have for teaching. What really happens when we teach, and most teachers I think know this, is that which we teach somehow deepens within us, or somehow becomes more within us. It extends within us, right? So teaching is like meditation. At least that's my experience. It's like an oral meditation. We get into the zone of teaching, and using the language of A Course in Miracles, spirit comes through us, and it's a part of our own transformation. It's a part of our own becoming into new seeing, right? And there's nothing to me more precious, not even hiking, not even floating down the river on the inner tube. There's nothing to me more precious than becoming into a new seeing, fuller seeing, more consistent seeing. Traveling to Israel does also fall into that category. It seems like both trips have been somewhat transformational. Traveling to India fell into that category. Sitting over there in that chair behind me in my stillness time, contemplating the seven steps and writing falls into that category. Teaching also falls into that category. It's a very, very, very precious time for me. And so I am extremely grateful and happy to be here. And tonight we are going to begin with 242, which is in step two of the seven steps to awakening. And what I will do is give you a link to my journal beginning with 242. I go in order. So we'll start with 242 and move forward. There you are. And what I would like to do before I begin looking at 242 is just take a moment of silence. So if you all would please join me for that moment of silence, I would appreciate it. Amen. And now we begin. As Jeshua said through John Mark Hammer. Oops.
Hopefully you didn't get locked out again. But if you can hear me,
Hi, yeah, I think that I dropped the mic when I posted the link, but all I did after that was go into silence. So I wasn't saying anything anyway. And in fact, I had just said amen, and I was just coming out of the silence when Lynn started to speak. So you didn't miss a thing except, you know, maybe the silence. So we are going to begin, as I mentioned, with 242. And that is the link that I gave you. And Cheryl, I think, popped out and popped back in, so she might need the link again. Let me just give that to her. There you go, Cheryl. I'm going to start, of course, by reading from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, number 242, which is a quote of Ramana Maharshi, Ramana Maharshi's teachings, but actually the words are specifically Sri Muruganar's words, because he was a poet and he re-expressed Ramana Maharshi's teachings as a garland in the Garland of Gurus Sayings. But Ramana Maharshi read the garland and approved or corrected the sayings. So it's still deemed to be Ramana's teaching, just Ramana's teaching as expressed through the poetic expression of Sri Muruganar. So this is Ramana's teaching, number 242. Right now I'm reading from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. But again, this originally comes from the Garland of Gurus Sayings. Destroying through discrimination the basic error that I am the body, an object, and rejecting it and the world as mere mirages, faults. The awareness that surviving shines alone as being, that am I. Destroying through discrimination the basic error that I am the body, an object, and rejecting it and the world as mere mirages, faults. The awareness that surviving shines alone as being, that am I. All right, let's go to the journal, number 242, and here is what I wrote. Watching, glued to an object through identification and value attachment, forgets that it is watching alone. Watching itself, it remembers, and the glue that appeared to bind it to an object disintegrates. The thought, I am the watcher, is a mental exercise. Watching itself is not thought or thinking. So first of all, this is pointing to the idea that we can really have our attention in one of two directions. It is impossible to have our attention in both directions at the same time. We're either outward focused, and outward focused includes being focused on and believing our thoughts. The thoughts are actually on what we would call the outside in this case. So from the thoughts out, that is outward focus. So, of course, the world definitely falls into outward focus. Or there can be inward focus. And inward focus would really mean putting attention on that which is before thoughts. And the funny thing about that which is before thoughts is it doesn't actually have a name. And so what happens as we read or listen to different teachings is we hear different names for that, and sometimes the names even seem to conflict. In fact, isn't that today's course lesson? I do believe it is. Where's my workbook.
Let's see.
I believe today's course lesson is about the name of God. Let's peek and see. So according to my course workbook, today is lesson 182, I call upon God's name and on my own. So it's saying that whatever God's name is, that is also my name. And throughout today's workbook lesson, it's really asking us to focus today on the name of God, or God's name. It even asks us to do a meditation with someone else, preferably, actually with another person, where during the meditation, all we do, we start off by saying the course workbook, which is, I call upon God's name and on my own, but then the remainder of the practice time is supposed to be spent just saying God's name. The interesting thing about this particular workbook instruction is that it doesn't tell you what God's name is. And that's because that which is before thought doesn't have a name, but people call it many things, right? People call it many things, but it doesn't have a name, because any name would be a thought. So names are merely symbols, right? I'm going to jump over to Facebook for a moment. Let's see. It looks like I can do that here. I'm going to jump over to Facebook. I want to read to you something that I posted on Facebook a couple of nights ago. This actually came from a Gnostic gospel. Danielle was reading in her Israel book about some of the sites and why the sites were selected, and we realized that sometimes the sites were selected not based on the traditional gospels, but based on non-traditional gospels. And so I got curious, and I bought the Gnostic gospels and the apocalyptic or something like that, whatever the other one was called, gospels. The gospels of the apostles that are not accepted by the Catholic Church. And I started reading them. And to be honest, I can kind of see why, you know, people criticize the Catholic Church for not accepting these Gospels. But to be honest, as I read them, I could see why they weren't accepted. I could see. There are things in those Gospels that are really highly questionable. It's in many of them, most of them. Some of them, though, have some very good teachings. And so I'm kind of going through and I'm looking at the good teachings and kind of leaving the rest. Well, this one teaching that I came across was in a Gnostic gospel called The Secret Book of John. And it fits very well with this teaching right this moment. It talks about the One, right? Which the One would be another name for God. Barbara D is asking me if it's Pagel's book. I don't even know which ones I bought, to be honest. But anyway, it's talking about the One, and it describes the One. Listen to how The Secret Book of John, the Gnostic gospel, describes the One. The One is illimitable, since there is nothing before it to limit it. Unfathomable, since there is nothing before it to fathom it. Immeasurable, since there is nothing before it to measure it. Invisible, since nothing has seen it. Eternal, since it exists eternally. Unutterable, since nothing could comprehend it to utter it. Unnameable, since there is nothing before it to give it a name. Isn't that wonderful? I thought that was wonderful, and I posted it, and many other people thought that was wonderful as well. So if we go back to today's journal entry then, 242, if we look at that, it says, watching, so here it's calling it watching. That's what it's calling it, right? Watching, glued to an object, actually meaning the body. Watching, or even the mind is actually an object. Watching, glued to an object through identification and value attachment, forgets that it is watching alone. watching itself, it remembers. And the glue that appeared to bind it to an object disintegrates. So this is recommending a practice, and it's a practice that I've sat here for the last hour and listened to Cheryl talk about. It's the practice of turning the attention within, before thought, on, you know, that which cannot be named, that which cannot be seen, that which cannot be measured, that which cannot even be fathomed, right? But yet somehow turning the attention on that and not focusing on the world. And it says this is the practice that is going to unglue the artificial identification with the body and with the mind. It's going to unglue that, right? Dove is quoting another course workbook lesson that fits here. The name of God is my inheritance. So that's the first thing number 242 is doing, is it's recommending that inward focused before thought attention, which no one can really, at least in my experience, tell you how to do that. How does one tell you how to put your attention on that which you can't see, that which you can't fathom, that which you can't measure, right? That which you can't name, that which you can't describe. It's more of an intuitive sense that comes, I'm going to say, with practice or with intent. That as we practice doing it, as we have intent on doing it, eventually somehow we find that. We find that, and we're able to put our attention with it. We're able to rest with it. Some people call it resting in awareness, right? The second part of 242 is really understanding that this practice cannot be really described. It cannot be really taught. It's something someone must be able to intuit within themselves. And so since it can't tell us what the practice is, it's telling us what the practice isn't. The practice is not the thought, I am the watcher. The practice is not going around thinking, I am awareness. I am that which I cannot touch. I am. There's a headiness in thought, a headiness that is not there in the actual practice. So this is pointing out the difference between just repeating the thought over and over and over to ourselves. I am awareness. I am that which is before thought. I am. It's pointing out the difference between that and the actual intuitive watching, the actual intuitive putting our attention there on that which cannot be described. In fact, the last line of number 242 says, watching itself is not thought or thinking. It has nothing to do with thought or thinking. Now, that doesn't mean that many of us, when we start, we don't use thought or thinking to help us. In fact, the teachings of Inner Ramana actually uses a tool to get us started in this direction. And that tool is a mantra. And the mantra is one of the names of God, I am that I am. That is the name of God as it was told to Moses, right? I am that I am. And Inner Ramana, as you guys probably all know, asks us to say that mantra every time it comes into our mind. It asks us to say it with love. It asks us to say it with discipline. Discipline being every time the thought comes in to say it, we say it. It says we can say it no matter what we're doing, even if we're driving a car, because we can say it with eyes opened, eyes closed, right? So we can always say it. We're saying it silently within ourselves, not out loud. No one else even needs to be aware of the fact that we're saying it. And then it also asks us, this is the fourth instruction regarding the mantra, it also asks us after we say it to stay in the silence right after we say it. You know, stay in the silence with it, at least a little bit. Don't go right back to, so it's not like I'm going to sit here and worry about, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? Oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? I am that I am. Oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, just like throw it in there like another thought and then go right back to it, right? It'd be, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? Oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? Oh, that's right, my mantra. I am that I am. And in fact, following the teachings of Inner Ramana after that, I might say, all right, what am I to do now? Or how am I to say this? I actually, at that point, would then go into a surrender. So that practice of saying I am that I am, and then saying it with love and with discipline and all of that, but then especially staying in the silence afterwards, it's through that practice that that intuition kicks in, that intuition of knowing how to watch or stay in or rest in that which is before thought. You see? So the mantra is a tool. So number 242, watching glued to an object through identification and value attachment forgets that it is watching alone. Watching itself, it remembers, and the glue that appeared to bind it to an object disintegrates. The thought, I am the watcher, is a mental exercise. Watching itself is not thought or thinking. All right, if you are in the journal, you can just scroll down, and on the left you'll see a little number 243, and you can click on that, and that will take you. And what I'm going to do is paste now that link into the room. And then I'm going to read number 243 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is Ramana Maharshi's teaching as worded through Murugunar. When one now deeming oneself the mind and wandering lost amid phenomena wakes up from this dream spectacle and reemerges in the self and stands as that, this is the inwardness of yoga true. When one now deeming oneself the mind and wandering lost amid phenomena wakes up from this dream spectacle and reemerges in the self and stands as that, this is the inwardness of yoga true. All right, let's look at number 243. 243 in the journal. I laugh because it's so short. Realizing watcher is realizing self. One thing that A Course in Miracles teaches us is that a miracle is a shift in perception. And after practicing the I am that I am mantra for some time, I started to notice a miracle. I started to notice the miracle of my identity shifting. Shifting from the full belief that I am the person, that I am the body, that I am this mind, to an identification with nothing in particular, to be honest. You know, we could, nothing. That which I read to you from John is probably the best description. It didn't switch from one object to another object. It didn't switch from one idea to another idea. It shifted. What I called it at the time when I realized it was I began to identify with that which is real, but that which is real is not an object. That was just a way of describing it. That would be the name of God that day for me, that which is real. And the way that I noticed that this shift was happening was I began to notice that things that used to upset me, even little things, they started to not be upsetting at all. That was the effect or the evidence of the shift that was occurring. You know, Regina would have been upset with this. But now, since that identification with Regina was no longer firm, and I was instead identifying with this, I'm going to call it right now, nothing, there was no upset. Because nothing is not upset by that. Nothing is not affected by that, right? So things that previously were upsetting to me could continue to happen, but the upset no longer existed because the miracle of the shift in identification was occurring. So whatever we call that which is before thought, whatever we choose to call that is irrelevant. Again, it's not an object. It can't be described. You can't tell anyone what it is. But somehow there's a shifting away from being identified with an object into this, right? And with that, there are things that naturally fall away because those ideas, those beliefs were a part of the object minds. And if I'm not identified with the object mind anymore, then those are no longer my thoughts, my beliefs, my way it needs to be anymore. Those things just fall away. So as we realize the watcher, as we realize that which can't be described, as we realize that which is before thought, that which is real, that which some people call awareness, that which some people call consciousness, but they're not referring to the ego consciousness. It's just another word that's put on it. It's not an object. It's free. It's free of being an object. It's free of having ideas. It's free of having attachments. As we begin to shift our identification there, things fall away naturally. And as we realize that fully, we realize what we truly are. Realizing watcher is realizing self. All right. Why don't we scroll down and click on number 244. And I will again post the link in the room for those people who are not yet in the journal and would like to be. I'm going to read 244 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. The universe out there appears when scanned, but when not scanned, it disappears. Turning away from this, search keenly for the self within the heart and think no more of birth. Now, scanned here means attention is given to it. The universe out there appears when scanned, but when not scanned, it disappears. Turning away from this, search keenly for the self within the heart and think no more of birth. All right, let's look at the journal. Number 244 in the journal says, there is nothing to think about. Look out, and out is what you see. Look in, and truth is realized. Out includes thoughts, the world, and idea of self. In is none of that. Now, what's very interesting here as well is we can't be told what that is, which is before thought. It's indescribable. And so instead of saying in is dot, 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 and describing it for us, which would then turn it into an object, and we'd be looking for an object, right? Instead of describing what in is here, it just describes what out is, and then it says in is none of that. So the description comes from the absence of a description. Any object that you can conceive of, in is not that. So here we have another word for God, in. Right? We've seen watcher as a name for God. We've seen I am that I am as a name for God. God as a name for God. In as a name for God. But remember, in the secret book of John, it said that it is unfathomable, right? In fact, let me just read that again for you. The one is, so there's another name for God, the one. The one is illimitable, since there is nothing before it to limit it. Unfathomable, since there is nothing before it to fathom it. Immeasurable, since there is nothing before it to measure it. Invisible, since nothing has seen it. Eternal, since it exists eternally. Unutterable, since nothing could comprehend it to utter it. Unnameable, since there is nothing before it to give it a name. Indescribable, right? And so we don't find the journal describing it. We find the journal describing what it isn't. Neti neti. Neti neti. And we also find an interesting guidance that is being hinted at both in number 244 and the ones that I've read before that tonight. The interesting guidance is it's really asking us, instead of putting our attention on the world, and I heard Cheryl talking about this exact same thing, instead of putting our attention on the world, to keep our attention within, on in, on that which is nothing, that which is not an object, but that which is always present, right? You could say, and depending on what you meant by these words, you could be right. You could say that the guidance is asking you to deny the world and deny your experience. And again, depending on what you mean by that, you could be right. A Course in Miracles talks about two types of denial. There's the ego's denial, and then there's the positive use of denial. And there's a subtle difference between the two. Again, I don't even know if this can be taught. This might be something that you need to intuit for yourself. The ego's denial is an attempted lie coming from fear or guilt. So let's say a thought crosses my mind that I don't like someone, right? Jay's saying they talked about this in their ACIM group this morning. So let's say a thought comes across my mind that I don't like someone, and I now feel guilty for having that thought, and so I try to pretend not only with others but with myself that it's not true. That's an unhealthy type of denial. That's a repression, that's ego's denial, and that is the opposite of healing. However, there's another type of denial that is the positive use of denial. And if I was to use that same example, the positive use of denial would look like this. I would see the thought that I don't like the certain person. I would acknowledge the thought was there, and then from my heart, I would have to take the time to shift from the ego to the heart, or shift from the ego to the Holy Spirit, to shift from my wrong mind to my right mind. There's a shifting that must occur before this next step. If the shifting does not occur, it's still the ego's denial. But I see the thought that I don't like this person. I take the time to go within and shift. And then from an honest place that exists because of the shift, I deny the thought. And you know what else? It's even truth at that point, because it is not my truth that I don't like anyone. There's no one I don't like. That is always a false idea. But the difference between the negative or the ego denial and the positive use of denial is that before denying the experience or denying the thought, I take the time to shift from the wrong mind to the right mind. And the denial comes from a very honest place where that isn't true. It really isn't true. And so what happens is I become a master or very practiced at staying with in, being identified with that nothingness that has no preferences, has no ideas, right? And as that, I can then deny apparent experience because it's not true. Hold on, Jamie wants in. So here we are in step two. And step two, let me just go back for those of you who aren't real familiar with the seven steps to awakening. Let me read the objective of step two to you. Here's step two. Know that the world is a dreamlike illusion. Know that all of the following are dreamlike illusions. The world is a dreamlike illusion. The body is a dreamlike illusion. The universe is a dreamlike illusion. All dimensions are dreamlike illusions. All events, motions, and actions are dreamlike illusions. Time is a dreamlike illusion. That is the objective of two. And we will not get to knowing that the world is a dreamlike illusion if we continue to react to it and think of it as real. There needs to be, you could call it, an opposite action. Because if you know what Einstein said, what was that about the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing but expecting different results? We can't continue to think of the world as real and respond to the world as real and react to the world as real and satisfy objective two in the seven steps. We need to be given an opposite action. And that opposite action is denying that the world is real. But again, it's an honest denial. It's a taking the time to shift and deny. And I don't perceive the seven steps, by the way, as a book for beginners. It's interesting because A Course in Miracles, although A Course in Miracles can seem, you know, to be quite difficult, I understand that thoroughly. It can even be difficult to understand. A Course in Miracles actually claims that it is for beginners. And I feel that a lot of what I learned while working with A Course in Miracles with the Holy Spirit, as well as working with NTI. For me, NTI and A Course in Miracles are the same step. They're not, NTI is not a step beyond A Course in Miracles. They're the exact same step. So working with NTI and A Course in Miracles gave me the tools, gave me the ability to recognize wrong mind, right mind, the ability to switch to right mind. They gave me the tools that were necessary to be able to then step into this type of a practice. In fact, I thank God for A Course in Miracles and NTI. I sometimes feel, and I could be wrong about this, but I sometimes feel that I see people who have been very focused on this type of teaching, Advaita teaching, who have not had the tools that we get through A Course in Miracles and NTI. And sometimes I think they're missing something that they don't realize they're missing, like the discernment between right mind and wrong mind and how to shift between them, right? So I'm grateful that I know how to shift. And even though this particular book does not teach that shift, this particular book does not teach that discernment, that's absolutely necessary in order to effectively practice what this particular book is teaching. So when I'm reading, there is nothing to think about. Look out and out is what you see. Look in and truth is realized. And then out includes thoughts, the world, and idea of self. In is none of that. I already have to know how to discern and shift. Because if I do not know how to shift from my wrong mind, then what's going to happen is when I see myself thinking thoughts again, I'm going to judge myself for thinking thoughts again. I'm going to try to avoid the thoughts I'm thinking, all from within the ego mind, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But if I've learned discernment, if I know how to make the shift, and there's lots of tools to help make the shift. The tool that NTI taught, which was extremely effective for me, was taking a moment to ask myself, what do I really want? So using the example I had before, if the thought crossed my mind that I don't like this particular person and she's walking towards me, right, and the thought occurs, I don't like her, and I feel, you know, the emotions that go with that thought, what NTI taught me to do is to say, what is it that I really want now? What is it that I really want? And something is just in asking the question for me, I shifted because I was so aware that what I wanted more than anything was awakening. What I wanted more than anything was true seeing. And then immediately it becomes apparent that this thought is an obstacle to that. And then that thought became something that I no longer really wanted. My identification with the thought just died in the realization of what I want. So for many years, I used the NTI process of asking, what is it that I really want? What is my true desire here? To shift from wrong mind to right mind. And then once I shift from wrong mind to right mind, what seemed true a moment ago is no longer true. So now this is just a more, I'm going to call it a more advanced usage of shifting, a more consistent usage of staying within the right mind, right? Staying in with that which can't be described, and simultaneously denying the entire world experience. Denying the ideas that I'm Regina. Denying the ideas that I'm a mother. Denying the idea that this body I'm having a conversation with right now is my daughter. Denying the idea that we're separate. Denying the idea that we have separate thoughts. But all from the right mind. The entire denial process occurs from a consistent being in the right mind. There is nothing to think about. Look out, and out is what you see. Look in, and truth is realized. Out includes thoughts, the world, and idea of self. In is none of that. So I only want to look in as having any reality. Everything out is to be denied. Everything out is to be denied. All right. Let's scroll down to 244, scroll down underneath 244, and on the left you'll see a 245, and you can click on that. And we'll read 245 from the Seven Steps to Awakening, and it says, it's exactly what we just talked about. Renouncing this phenomenal world, which seems to but does not exist, we gain the self, the awareness, shining, all unseen. That's interesting because, you know, renouncing is the same thing as denying in the way I just talked about it. Denying it, right? Renouncing it. Renouncing this phenomenal world, which seems to but does not exist, we gain the self, the awareness, shining, all unseen. I've spent the last 2 days reading some things that Bentino said, he said this on June 9th. He said some things on a Facebook group I'm in on June 9th, and I knew at that time that I wanted to read his comments and read the conversation as it was posted, but I was actually in the airport at JFK getting ready to go to Israel. People were arriving at different times and coming and saying hi, and I couldn't give it my attention then. So I asked for the entire conversation, which was quite long, to be sent to me, and Nikki Dobson was kind enough to honor that request, and somehow, I don't even know how, she copied the, you know, it has hundreds of comments, she copied the entire thing out of Facebook and sent it to me, and I've been spending the last 2 days reading it. And one thing that's very interesting about this particular conversation is that Bentino is speaking exactly that which I have been seeing in step two. And I'm nearly done with step two now. I'm in the 500s. But what he is speaking in this particular conversation is exactly the same thing that I see when I sit down and contemplate these thoughts. And it's really kind of wonderful to see someone speaking the same thing. But he talks about a practice to help people get to this scene that he's talking about. And the practice, one of the practices, he has two, but one of the practices is denying experience. And of course, some of the people reading what he's writing do not have an understanding of what he's saying. And so they're saying that he's wrong. And they're saying, don't listen to Bentino. You know, he's gone over the deep end. But he hasn't. Jay says he wants to share a 20-second thought, an insight he had about this 2 days ago. Yeah, please go ahead, Jay, and then I will continue from there. The mic is yours.
I had a thought about denying the world, and I was really receiving that. And this actually happened after I walked out of a movie. And it was as if the process of denying the world became clear to me in an image. And it was as if I'm walking on a stone path toward a light, and everything I just stepped on sort of folds up and goes away. It's like step, and then that left foot comes off, and then that ground is folded up. It's no longer there. It's like I'm leaving the door, and the house is imploding behind me. That was the thought and experience I had with it. So that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, thank you. I can definitely see how that image would be very, very helpful in getting one to where they can start to deny the experience. You know, again, the problem with the words is that they suck. That's the problem with the words is they suck. It sounds like you're asking people to do something that's not honest, right? That's what it sounds like. You're asking people to deny their experience. That's not honest. But what's missing in that description is the understanding of the ability to shift and to stay in the shift. You see, that's what's missing. And I'm not certain that he even stated that clearly. And so, you know, I get that people were misreading him. But as someone who was reading him with what I'm going to call a full understanding, because the same clarity is what arrives with me every morning as I sit in my chair, I knew that he was exactly right. And the people who were calling him wrong just did not see yet that this is exactly what needs to be done. There needs to be total denial of the world. Total denial of the world. But first, at least in my opinion and based on my experience, first one needs to learn how to shift into the honest space where that denial can happen. It cannot be done from an ego mind. It cannot be done from an intellectual understanding alone. Right? So, 245, again, that came after just reading Ramana's statement where he's making the exact same recommendation. Renouncing this phenomenal world, which seems to but does not exist, we gain the self, the awareness shining all unseen. This is what Bentino is telling people. If you deny your experience, you will know beyondness. That's another name for God. That's the name for God that he's using, is beyondness. He's basically saying it will announce itself if you deny the world. If you deny your experience, it will announce itself. Ramana is saying the same thing. So let's go to number 245 in the journal. And it says, to renounce the world, renounce the mind. Do not be involved in it. Use self-inquiry to reinstate awareness of watcher as self and abide watching, being, but not engaged in thinking. This is the assignment. So based on the discussion that we've been having this hour, I'm sure that you can look at number 245 in the journal and you can see that recommending the shift and even a tool for making the shift is a part of number 245. Not just denying or renouncing the world, but making that shift and staying consistently in that shifted place, right? And of course, I spoke a moment ago that the tool I used for shifting for years was the tool that came to me through NTI, the what do I really want, that would shift me because I knew I wanted awakening to truth. This recommends a different tool. This is the tool that came later through the teachings of Inner Ramana. It's self-inquiry. It's who am I? Who am I? Am I that ego mind? Or am I that which I discovered through the mantra, I am that I am, that I cannot describe, the unfathomable, the undefinable, that which no one has seen, that which isn't an object, right? Who am I? And by the time I got to Inner Ramana, you could say enough maturity and discernment and shifting had occurred through practice that the question, who am I, is all that was needed as a quick reminder to drop the idea that I'm this person and I have this value, for example, to drop that idea and shift into that unknowing nothingness, where I am not this person and I do not have this value, and therefore I can deny that experience that the person was having because it's not who I am. To renounce the world, renounce the mind. What's the mind thinking? I don't like her. What's the mind thinking? I need my house clean. What's the mind thinking? Oh my God, how am I going to pay these bills? What's the mind thinking? I'm sick and tired of salad. I want chocolate. What's the mind thinking? Don't be involved in it. Not from false denial, not from ego denial, not from staying in ego and trying to deny from there out of guilt or fear. Use self-inquiry. Who am I? Or if you're not ready for that, if that doesn't work for you, because it wouldn't have for me in the beginning, because who am I? I still thought I was Regina. I wouldn't have done a thing. I'm the one who wants chocolate instead of a salad. That's who I am. Right? Then try maybe, what do I really want? Chocolate or awakening? Not that it's important. Whether you eat chocolate or a salad, of course, but just the frustration that was being caused by not wanting the salad, by not wanting to eat the salad, and that's what's being given. That's that frustration that I really want to drop. If I'm being served a salad, I want to be able to be happy with whatever I'm served. So what's in the way of me being happy with the salad that's being given to me right now? The idea that I want chocolate, right? What do I really want? Do I really want chocolate? Or do I want to know myself? I want to know myself. Okay, then I'll take the salad, you know, because it's not that important. The value drops away. Who am I? This person that wants chocolate? No, I'm nothing. I'm nothing, and it doesn't matter what I eat. It doesn't matter. Then I'm very happy with the salad, right? I'm renouncing the experience of having a preference, but it's an honest renouncing. That it comes through a shift. The shift has to come before the renouncing. The shift has to come before the denial, or it's not effective. To renounce the world, renounce the mind, whatever the thinking is. Do not be involved in it. Use self-inquiry to reinstate awareness of watcher as self. That's the shift. use self-inquiry to reinstate the awareness of watcher as self and abide watching, stay consistently within that shift, being but not engaged in thinking. This is the assignment. And Jay says, if you don't shift first, you'll build resentment. Absolutely. Absolutely. The shift is the critical part of this recommendation to deny the world. The shift has to happen, and we have to learn to stay in the shift. All right, we have 5 minutes left. Let's see if we can get one more done. Let's scroll down and click on number 246. And I am posting that link in the room. And I'm going to read 246 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Seen through the eye of our true being, which is awareness pure, supreme, what we call birth is but the folly of thinking that one is the body, which forms a poor part of this entirely false phenomenal world. Again, seen through the eye of our true being, which is awareness pure, supreme, what we call birth is but the folly of thinking that one is the body, which forms a poor part of this entirely false phenomenal world. So thinking that we are the body is a poor part of the illusion. It's just a part of the illusion, but it's a poor part. All right, let's look at number 246 in the journal. I just gave you the link. Attachment to the world is strong. Attachment to the world has led to this illusory birth and this illusory lifetime. If at times letting go of ego seems to be an impossible task, do not be disheartened. Remember that attachment is strong. Be gentle with yourself as you continue to practice without pause. Now, this is perfect because this is recommending the opposite of ineffective denial. Ineffective denial would be denying that the world is still important to me right now, if that's the case, right? It says the world is still important to you. You're probably going to experience a lot of resistance. Sometimes you're not going to find it so easy to make the shift. Don't deny that. Instead, be gentle with yourself as you continue to practice without pause. Now, when I hit especially the 400s in the Seven Steps to Awakening, I hit a lot of resistance. And as I got near the end of the 400s, that resistance became very, very big. What I did as I hit the 400s is I began to slow down. Sometimes I didn't do the seven steps on a particular day. And sometimes when I did the seven steps, I'd only do one. I might do two. I did whatever felt right. And then I would stop. I would stop when it felt like that's enough for now. When it felt like I needed to take a break today, I would take a break. Then when it came time for the trip to Israel, instead of taking the seven steps and continuing forward into the 500s, I decided to take all of step two with me and spend the time just reviewing. And I continued the review even for half a week after I got back from Israel before it was done. This was my being gentle with myself. And what amazingly happened during this period of time when I wasn't moving forward was somehow that resistance dissipated, because as soon as I sat back down and started going forward again, realizations, clarity, you could say the next steps began to come very easily and very quickly and with great inner excitement. So when the resistance rises, when we aren't able to make the shift so easily, when this value is something I'm not able to just let go of because this really does seem important, this is when positive use of denial, denying the experience might not happen for us because we aren't able to fully move into the right mind. We're kind of stuck with resistance a little bit. The wrong mind has a hold on us, it seems like. That's when we want to just step back, rest, take a break, and know this too will pass. This resistance will pass, and then I will let go of this value, or then I will proceed forward with this learning, or, and then, you know, I will whatever. So be gentle with yourself. It's not always going to feel easy, because resistance will come. Attachment to the world is strong. Attachment to the world has led to this illusory birth and this illusory lifetime. If at times letting go of ego seems to be an impossible task, you can't make the shift that day, do not be disheartened. Remember that attachment is strong. Don't deny that. That's not the positive use of denial at that time, right? When you can't make the shift. Be gentle with yourself as you continue to practice in a gentle way without pause. And that's it. It's time for me to let go of the mic. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.